Therefore, since we have so great a high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit fill us, bless us, anoint us as we spend a few moments here in this passage about your throne of grace, we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed this morning. I have been reminded how big our God is. I have been reminded how gracious our God is and how creative He is as well. And I don't know about you, but my mind was stirred, my heart was stirred, as I heard that great passage in Revelation chapter 7, following the description of the innumerable multitude from every tribe and tongue and nation and people who are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're clothed with white garments, and they have palm branches of victory in their hands, and they all cry out with a loud voice saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I don't know about you, but my heart was stirred as I heard the different languages saying that same verse. Whether it was Russian, whether it was Hungarian or Romanian, or French, the nuances of the French, or German, or Dutch, or Italian, stirs the heart and caused me to have tears in my eyes. And then especially as we sang, the church has one foundation, and we may be elect from all the nations, but we have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. Also, I could pick out a few words here and there. It was a little more challenge to pick out the prayer in Hindi than it was in Portuguese at first service, because I could detect Senhor and gracias, a couple other more familiar words, but there was nothing, Abdul. You know, that you said that I could connect with until you started mentioning names. And what a blessing that you and your wife have had 51 years together. And Sheila, by the way, is in the extended care over at Berrien Center, and has the realities of Alzheimer's, and it puts a burden, a pressure on the family. But there was a day in which she could speak your language pretty quick, knew every nuance of it, and obviously enough to pass it on to you, Shalini, and Raj. I'm sure you can speak it as well. But I've been reminded today that I'm a mutt. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I am glad that there is English, at least. I could hardly speak it when I was younger. But I've been reminded how big our God is and how inclusive our God is. And I would linger for just a few moments. We've had a full service. But I would linger for a few moments to remind ourselves what this means for us. Here in Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw with confidence, near with confidence to the throne of grace. And as we have rehearsed a few of the ethnic realities of our congregation, we have been reminded that there is a throne of grace, and that this throne of grace is a throne of grace for all the peoples. It's for all the people from every nation and tribe and tongue and people. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what corner of the world you are unfamiliar with or familiar with, God's throne of grace extends into that sphere of reality. I've had a few occasions in this last couple of years, actually the last decade of my life, to be in situations where I wished that God would still give the gift of tongues in the 21st century. It would make my life a lot easier, make me a little bit more efficient. But there are many times in which I have to be in a service where I'm not really sure what's going on, and I'm not really sure if I'm being translated correctly either. I was in Mongolia a few weeks ago, and there is a couple from Australia, there's a couple from the Philippines, and another couple, can't remember where they were from, but they were so excited that an English-speaking preacher showed up on a Sabbath morning, because they told us that, told me that they come to church on Sabbaths and they have no idea what goes on half the time. But they are there for the fellowship. They are there to draw the warmth and the energy. They see the passion in the lives and the vitality of the lives of the people that they are working with, but they don't fully understand the nuances of the language or the fullness of the culture. They were happy to have an English speaker, be able to savor a little bit of English, and oh, our mother tongue is so good to hear. And I know bits and phrases of different languages, and when I rattle them out, I may not be able to follow them up, but when I rattle them out, it's amazing how it quickly captures the attention of the individual. You know how to speak my language, they say, and I'm not really sure how they're asking it back, but I know that that's what they're asking. But what a blessing that our God hears all languages. Our God hears the voice of every heart, every soul. Amen. Someone told me following first service, they said, this was so exciting, and it gave them a new picture of God. How is it that God could hear this babble and make sense of it? Well, to Him, when His people cry out to Him, no matter what language, it is not babble. It is the voice of their children, His children, speaking to His own heart. Coming to His throne of grace. When we think of a throne, we think of majesty, we think of grandeur, we think of power, we think of sovereignty, we think of rule, we think of the ability to make decisions and to determine outcomes for life or for death. We think of all kinds of things, and very rarely do we think of a throne in terms of grace. But this is how the book of Hebrews would have us picture God's presence, what it means to be in God's presence. It's a throne of grace, and it's for all people. And this is very interesting, because in the setting of the book of Hebrews, God is a consuming fire, and it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we've been celebrating the biblical truth that God is alive. But one must be reverent, one must be obedient, one must open their heart, one must respond. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Because if you do harden your heart, these are realities. But this is not the overwhelming reality of Revelation, of the book of Hebrews. The overwhelming reality of the book of Hebrews is the throne of grace. That there is a throne of grace for all the peoples. And what is exciting about this throne of grace is that there is a high priest that is there at this throne of grace. Our text tells us that this great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, has passed through the heavens. What does that mean? That Jesus has passed through the heavens. You look at a couple other verses in Hebrews. Here it says we have a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. So this majestic throne of grace, this majestic throne is in the heavens. So when it says that Jesus passed into the heavens, or passed through the heavens, it's meaning that He has gone into heaven, and there He is at this throne of grace, this majestic throne of grace, and He is a minister in the sanctuary. And here in Hebrews 9, it says, Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, and He is there to appear in the presence of God for the likes of you and I. Amen? What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful picture. And I would have us linger on this as we rejoice together as a family of faith and all the diversity that's reflected in our congregation. That there is a throne of grace, and that is for all the peoples. And this imagery brings us to the heavenly sanctuary. It brings us to the high priestly work of Jesus Christ. It undergirds our Adventist understanding of what Jesus is doing while we await for His soon return. You'll remember the Christian writer Philip Yancey in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, writes of the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And he says the resurrection of Jesus is exciting, but the ascension of Jesus is the biggest challenge to my faith. Because I can't figure out why Jesus went away. Wouldn't have it been more practical, wouldn't have been more powerful for Jesus to have stayed here and been with us. But now He's away. And He risks being forgotten. And indeed, many of us do forget Him because we do not see Him. But nevertheless, the book of Hebrews reminds us of our Adventist understanding that Jesus, His mediatorial work, His work of atonement continues as a high priest there in the presence of God for us, there for us to experience mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. We have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has entered heaven itself in our behalf, and He ushers us. He brings us into the very presence of God so that we can find peace. We don't go into the presence of God on our own. We have help. We have assistance. And we can think of all different kinds of examples of how when we've known somebody, they've made connections for us for some purchase or some legal matter or some educational perspective or registration line or whatever it is. It helps to know the right people. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus, our high priest, knows the right people. He knows God. And He's there in the presence of God for us. And this great Savior, Jesus Christ, is one who can sympathize with us because He was tempted in all things like we are. And that's a hard one to understand. But nevertheless, there's not a thing that we go through or have experienced in our lives, but that Jesus does not understand, or that Jesus does not fully connect with and know what is in your heart. As we've learned already in the book of Hebrews, our Jesus has become one with us in our flesh and blood. And He knows what it means to face death. He knows what it means to face temptation. He knows what it means to suffer. And that enables Him to be a merciful and great, compassionate high priest. And He can come to our aid and help us no matter what it is that we are experiencing in our lives. That Jesus can help us. Jesus can help you. No matter what nationality, no matter what language, no matter what ethnic background, no matter where you've come from, Jesus can connect with you. Jesus can help you. Jesus can bless you because He knows what it means to be tempted. He knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to be a human being. And so the message of Hebrews, the great hope for the people of the world, the great hope for your life and my life today, is that Jesus brings us to the throne of grace. Jesus enables us to see God, experience God, come into God's presence, because Jesus knows, Jesus cares, Jesus can help, Jesus brings us to the very presence of God. And so we are encouraged today with this knowledge that God, Jesus can help us. We are encouraged to draw near with confidence. And so, in closing, I want us to see just quickly the context of this passage that we've been building up to for a couple weeks. Number one, because a Sabbath-like rest remains, and we've learned that that Sabbath-like rest that remains is the rest of grace. Experience of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Because a Sabbath-like rest remains. Number two, because the living Word engages us to enter that rest, and we learned about the living Word, how it penetrates into the very recesses of our inner being and exposes us to ourselves and to God so that we will be led to surrender ourselves and find rest in Jesus. And because our great high priest is in the very presence of God in our behalf, and because the presence of God is a throne of grace, because of these things, then let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold on to Jesus. Let us hold on to our faith. Let us hold on to our understanding of who Jesus is and what He has been doing for us and what He can do for us. And let us draw near. Let us draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, with assurance, with a sense of peace that we will be heard. And let us draw near so that we can find mercy, we can receive mercy, and we can find grace to help in the time of need. And so this throne of grace would communicate to the people of God today such an invitation, such realities, a worldview of God, who He is, and the great hope that we have in Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, let us come with assurance. Let us come with confidence. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, as it says in the New King James Version, because we have a Savior that's already there for us at that throne of grace. He invites you today. He urges you today. He compels you today. And today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, come. Today, that throne of grace is open for you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.